If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
All right, back to where we began. Happy New Year. It's the last day of the year, and it was a year of dissatisfaction in Pittsburgh sports. It truly was. Things came to a head. You basically yelled like the famous line from whatever movie it is, and I forget what it was, when the guy opens the window and yells, "I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore." You couldn't take it anymore. Not with the Pirates, where there were a plane flying overhead before the home opener saying sell the team and booing the manager and chanting sell the team. You had it with the Pirates. You had it with the Steelers, and that manifested in the Bills game when Steeler fans booed Renegade and chanted fire Tomlin. You had it with the Penguins. More in an apathetic way with that franchise than the others. There was no fan insurrection at those places, at their games. More just people not showing up anymore. With two of our teams, the dissatisfaction, whether it's directly related or not, also then came with change. The Penguins fired Mike Sullivan. They've changed. For better or worse, I guess we'll find out. The Pirates have done things differently. They fired their manager. Now they've acquired two All-Stars in a week. What will the Steelers do, I wonder? And what will that stadium look like on Sunday if they lose, especially if they lose by a wide margin? This was a fan year in Pittsburgh sports, meaning the fans finally let it be known that they couldn't take this anymore. It's been nearly a decade since there was a title in this town, but that's not really the story. The story is just, I would imagine for people out there who love sports, wanting to yell out your window, can somebody do something? Yes, that guy. Because this became like a horrible version of Groundhog Day, Groundhog Year, Groundhog Decade. Well, the Penguins do the same thing every year. They it's the exact same season over again. The Pirates do the same thing every year. Nothing different. It's the exact same season over again. This is the point you reached out there. And the Steelers, even though a little bit more high end, it's the same thing every year with the same result. Nothing in the postseason. Literally nothing. Don't even come close to ever winning a playoff game. And you lost your minds. And I don't blame you. You went crazy. And I don't blame you. That's what happened this year in Pittsburgh sports. That was the story. You couldn't take it anymore. I have a headache, Nelly, from yelling. So let's go. Let's get a little more in depth on the year in Pittsburgh sports. I asked my wonderful colleagues here. And by the way, some of them didn't even bother to answer. Pony's one of them. Couldn't even answer a text, for God's sakes. Where all I said was, I went on the same texting group as we sent around when we won the Marconi. Do you remember that?
The text chain that I wasn't on, or the Marconi that we won?
Both.
I remember the Marconi.
I think we won the Marconi because of Malzy the Snowman. Can we hear that just as a festive reminder of what can be when we put all our talents together here at the Fan? I'm convinced that some suits in New York were deciding between us and some station in L.A. or somewhere. And somebody played for them Malzy the Snowman. And they said, the talent at 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh is unmatched. Give them our version of the Academy Award. Nelly?
Now, the Fan's Christmas
chorus brings
up, Nelly. You Malzy the Snowman.
Oh, Malzy the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul. With a giant bald head and a button nose, his favorite picture was Garrett Cole. Oh, Malzy the Snowman is a fairy tale, they say. He was made of snow, but the listeners know how he came
Here
to
comes
life
Bob Solo.
One day.
There must have been some magic in that oversized hat they found. For when they placed it on his head, Malzy danced around.
One of the great solos in Pittsburgh sports radio history, I might add. And that was Bob Impromptu. And what a man he is. But a lot of other people weighed in. I asked them the play of the year, the best moment of the year, and the worst moment of the year. Would you like to hear some of their answers, Nelly?
Of course.
Very nice of Malzy to get back to me. The play of the year in Pittsburgh sports, Kenny Gainwell's catch. Best moment of the year, Crosby passes Lemieux in points. Worst moment, Metcalf incident with fan. Donnie Football, you ready for him? Play, same as Malzy, he says, Gainwell's catch. The best moment, Skeens wins the Cy Young. I like that a lot, don't you, Donnie?
I'm not Donnie, but thank you.
Worst moment, Metcalf incident with fan. We know. Worst moment for him, for Donnie, is Ravens run Steelers out of the playoffs and Kirk Herbstreit calls them out. Then Mutton chimes in on the text and says, Limit's worst moment is Northwestern beating PSU, to which everybody laughed. Then in came Bob Pompiani. You ready for his entries?
Of course.
Best moment, Crosby moves past Lemieux. He says, tied with Gainwell catch, I guess, that play. And the worst is Pirates not capitalizing on Skeen's Cy Young season. See, that's another example of Bob not following the rules.
It was a moment, not a total.
Right. The Pirates not capitalizing on Skeens might be the worst story or the thing that ticked you off the most. It's not a moment. Why doesn't he ever follow directions, Bob?
I mean,
why is that?
Because he's Bob Pompiani. He doesn't need to follow directions. Directions follow him.
That's true. Play of the year for Limits, the Gainwell catch, the Sid Pat. Come on, don't we have a variety of things here? We're supposed to be free thinkers. Worst moment is Dennis Santana and DK Metcalf both fight fans in Detroit. I'd forgotten that Santana's fight was also in Detroit. This is incorrigible.
Can I play you my favorite play of the year?
And Incrinculant, your play of the year, please, yeah.
One out in the ninth, the pitch. Swung on, hit high and deep, out the left. Brenton Doyle has won it for the Rockies. If you thought it was impossible to lose this game, when the Pirates led 9-0 before the Rockies batted, well, welcome to Coors Field. Score, Rockies 17, Pirates 16.
That's the worst moment of the year.
No, that's the best moment of the year.
Okay. Oh, my car's done, and now they're calling me right now, and I'm not going to answer because I'm on the air.
Why don't you answer it on the air?
I can't. I'm not allowed to do that. Yeah. And then when I try to call back the car place, like so many places, I'll never be able to get the guy. So I'm staring at my demise on my phone right now. If I picked up and I said, hello, is the car ready? Can I pick it up? They might say yes or no or tell me what was needed. I'm not going to pick up, and then I'm going to spend the rest of my day chasing down this person.
I could just play Malzy the Snowman for the next 5 minutes.
Work is so inconvenient. Doran Dickerson, play of the year, Kenny Gainwell. Best moment. At least Doran got creative. You ready for this, Nelly?
Of course.
Nelly!
Yes!
Hosting the Open at Oakmont and Spawn's winning putt. I like that.
That's a good one.
And for Doran, you can understand this one. Pitt losing to SMU is the worst moment. You like that one?
Ooh, I would have thought Pitt losing to West Virginia would have been the worst one for him.
Wait, that's what I said. Pitt losing to WVU.
No, you said SMU.
I did?
You did.
Oh, that was last year's worst moment for Pitt. Did I say SMU?
You did.
Holy horse follicles. Wait a second. See, I don't know who's nicknamed Horse in my phone because I call six different people Horse.
Would it be Horse himself?
No. Ironically, Horse is not called Horse in my phone. He's one of the guys who isn't. That was Joe Kopp.
What am I? Am I even saved in your phone?
Horse. Well, Jim Colony's also Horse, but the real Horse is Jeff Hathorn. You're saved in my phone under producer Nelly.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
At least I'm saved.
Jeff has the best moment, J.J. Spawn's 65-foot putt, and Paul Skeens wins the Cy Young, and the worst moment, fans boo Renegade and yell fire Tomlin. Wasn't that even uglier than the Metcalf thing? I mean, in terms of like a low point for the franchise, the Metcalf thing was the biggest snap of the year. And yes, a horrible moment. But the Renegade and fire Tomlin thing just felt sad. You know, it felt like a low point in Steelers history. And believe me, as I mentioned from the top of the show and will repeat now, I get it. I get where fans are coming from and got where they came from that day, and it could get even worse on Sunday.
I think I know.
But those weren't even the two worst moments of the Steeler year. The worst moment of the Steelers year was 10 million people watching them play the Ravens in a playoff game and hearing this about your Steelers franchise. I mean, this is the low point, people. Let's get it with Kirk Herbstreit. This is the low point of the year. Forget about the Cleveland game. Forget about Metcalf. Forget about booing Renegade and chanting fire Tomlin. This is it. This is the low point.
Well, they was talking a game like this, a chess match. It's a cliche. I mean, but if this is a chess match, two grand masters.
If I were a Steelers fan, the thing that would concern me just watching this first half, you're in the postseason. You're getting dominated. I don't see any fight. I don't see any pushback. It's one thing to lose XOs against a really talented offense, but where the hell is the fight? This is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah. There's nothing. They're just going through the motion.
Wow. That one we've played a million times this year, and it's jarring. It's jarring to hear it again and again and again. And it's easy to forget because the news cycle is 10 minutes, and that feels like a long time and many Steeler moments ago, and it was. How about for you out there, the best moment, the worst moment, whatever you want to talk about, the year in sports, I think it was your moment. It was your moment to throw open that window and make your voices heard, that you don't and won't tolerate this anymore. You can't stand watching the same thing year after year after year. I think it was your year. We got any calls yet?
We do.
Can we go to the lines?
Yeah, of course.
You're supposed to tell me that, Nelly.
Well,
Charlie,
I did tell
Donnie,
you.
Donnie, Limits.
Carl. Steve,
Malden.
Greg.
Who's the most famous Carl in sports history? Malden? For when he portrayed Herb Brooks and... There was a, you know,
Carl Crawford.
He's famous. Carl Lewis, probably.
Yeah.
Carl Malone.
Carl Weathers.
Carl Weathers.
Technically,
as Apollo
sports,
Creed,
but he is
it
Apollo
is technically sports. I think it is sports.
Sports adjacent. It's movies.
No, it's a sports movie. That sports real. You know what I watched last night? Wife and kid were away in Florida. They're back now. Hoosiers with Gene Hackman.
Great movie.
What a movie.
Rest in peace, Gene Hackman.
Holy bird milk, is that a great movie. Forget all the little things that happen in that movie.
What's your favorite sports movie of all time?
Hoosiers.
It is Hoosiers?
Yeah. Remember, there's four players on the floor at one point because he wants to teach the one kid a lesson. So the ref comes over and he's like, you can't play with five players. He's like, my team is on the floor. What a moment. What a moment in movie history. What were we talking about? Oh.
Callers.
Let me just go. You know, I wanted to say this too. We lost several people in the sports world, including a guy that I had a great relationship with in what? What do you got?
I was going to add, including Carl Weathers. We lost him this year as well.
Right. In local sports, Ray Shearer was a guy that I had a really good relationship with. And that was so sad. Still in his 60s. And then we lost two. I mean, if you were making a list of the most impactful, iconic sports figures, really in Pittsburgh history, but if you want to call modern history, I don't know, the 1960 or 70 until today, two guys that would be fairly high on that list are Mike Lang and the Cobra, Dave Parker, right?
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Yeah. Also, Craig Wolfley.
Yes. Mike Lang just being kind of like Myron Cope, more famous than almost all the players for whom he called games, right? That's the status he reached, is Myron Cope-like status. And then, man, Dave Parker. I mean, for a kid, I grew up in Buffalo, so I didn't have a baseball team, so I adopted the Pirates, 1971. Now I'm starting to think about my year, and I mean, I'm talking about losing people. I lost both my parents in September. So this has been a crazy year. But it makes me too think about Dave Parker as a little kid in Buffalo, worshiping the Pirates, having a Parker poster. He was larger than life. Just this intimidating, unbelievable slugger and a great all-around player. You know, the epitome when he was healthy of a five-tool player. He could do everything. And then having my dad, really it comes full circle for me because my dad taking me on a pilgrimage to Pittsburgh back in 1979, right after the Madlock trade. And you talk about larger than life, walking into Three River Stadium, taking that in. I think the series, well, I know the series was against the San Francisco Giants in August. And, you know, my dad knew how much I loved the Pirates, so off we went to Pittsburgh. And what happened, let's see, 10 years later, in November of 89, he's driving me to Pittsburgh to go to graduate school at Duquesne, and I haven't left since. Oh, I've taken vacations and gone back to Buffalo for visits, Nelly, but I've lived here since November of 89. And it felt like it was meant to be. I'll tell you exactly how I got here. I think it was in my mind because of loving the Pirates all those years, largely because of Parker, Willie Stargell too. But I also, my dad taught at Damon College in Buffalo. And I remember walking over there, didn't know what to do with my life. I was 24, I think. And back then, we didn't have the internet. Charlie, were you even born in 89?
I was born in 93.
There you go. And so I went over to the library at his college, and there was this giant, giant book of colleges where you could look up what they specialized in, this and that. And for some reason, I came across Duquesne, and it was a cool name for a school. I thought, yeah, maybe Pittsburgh. Why not? I've been there. I love the Pirates. Duquesne had Norm Nixon at one point. Maybe I'll go to Pittsburgh. Maybe I'll go to Duquesne. So 10 years after that pilgrimage here, my dad dropped me off in Shadyside, where I lived with a guy named Brett Rosen, who I barely knew, but we had gone to the same high school. And we lived in a crummy little, tiny little apartment on Holden Street in Shadyside with orange indoor-outdoor carpeting, I should say, in the apartment. And I rolled out a little, what do you call the thing you sleep on that's not a bed? Futon.
Futon.
Slept on a futon. Worked at Fifth Avenue Place with a purple hat on at a place called Everything Yogurt. Took the 71C bus down Fifth Avenue from Shadyside to what I guess is now the Highmark, Fifth Avenue Place, right? And on the second floor, I'd be there at 6 a.m. On the second floor was Everything Yogurt. So I put on my purple hat, got my first resentment either against my boss or the customers within 15 minutes of being there, and served yogurt. And that's how it all began, way back when.
I kind of had have you served yogurt since, or have you been able to look at yogurt since?
I didn't know if that would be your question. I mean, yeah, we used to get nice breaks, and it was really good and healthy food. Sure, yeah. I even stole yogurt, you could say. Ate it when I wasn't supposed to eat it. And then I worked at the first Brugger's, Squirrel Hill, circa 1992.
What was your first media job?
First media job, this is interesting, was I was working at Duquesne at the Duquesne Duke with a guy named Frank Bodani, who now covers Penn State for the York Dispatch. And him and his buddy Denny Callahan were down in the offices of the Duquesne Duke talking about how they're making a little extra money at the Post-Gazette, getting high school football scores over the phone. Like, the Post-Gazette needed people in their office, freelancers, to pick up the phone when the coach called with the stats, right, from the game and the final score. So from my little apartment in Shadyside, with the orange indoor-outdoor carpeting and the tiny black and white TV and my futon, I called a man named Mike White.
Hallowed scribe, Mike White.
And I said, Mike, my name is Joe Starkey. I go to Duquesne with Frank Bodani. I think he does the Friday night football stuff with you. Is there any way I could come in and make some money? I think he said it won't be much money, but sure you can. And off I went. And that's how it all started. That morphed into covering high school football games, doing little, you know, high school stories for their zone editions, they called them. To make a long story longer, I didn't have my first full-time job till I was 29, Nelly. That's what I tell college kids, high school kids all the time. You might not know what you want to do, and it might take a while. And if you're a late bloomer, as I was, no full-time job till I was 29. Then suddenly, I'm a copy editor, and then suddenly, a year later, I'm following the Pittsburgh Penguins with the most famous hockey player in the world, Jaromir Jagr, at that time, around the world, actually, because eventually they went to Tokyo, but around North America as a beat writer. It all happened very fast. And now here I am with Bob Pompiani, although he's never here.
Look at the man you've become.
Yes. Exactly. How did we get into that? Oh, well, that was the other thing, is in addition to Dave Parker, Mike Lang, just an absolute icon and legend. And I got Mike to write the foreword to a book I did about the Penguins, and he was really generous about that and always generous with his time. And truly, the word legend gets thrown around a lot. Truly, truly a Pittsburgh legend.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.